And welcome back to Cryptid Killers and Everything in Between. Today we're going to cover some of the haunted sites in Ohio. Not all of the haunted sites in Ohio. That would be an extremely long podcast. But we chose four. And if this is popular, we'll choose more and maybe even branch out to other states.
Well, yeah, we decided to do this because the, what was it, Helltown?
Mm-hmm.
Has gotten so many hits. So we thought we'd do some more for here in Ohio.
Yeah, and a lot of these we've been to or lived in the town they were in and visited several times. So there's going to be some personal accounts. But I think what we'll do is start off with Roundtown first.
Yeah, you said Roundtown Place, which is not really what it's called. It's just it's a library, isn't it? Building in Circleville?
Yeah, it's a library in Circleville, Ohio. It was built in the 1890s. It's kind of a memorial for the Civil War soldiers.
It seems like a Civil War building.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty big. The building has housed a public library, an armory, and now the Roundtown Players Theatrical Group. And that's when I was a kid. When I lived in Circleville, it was still a library, but the Roundtown Players were in the basement of the building. And to look at the building,
it's a creepy building.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way you can look at it and say, man, that's probably really fucking haunted. The inside was always nice, and I'd been in the building after dark, of course, to see plays or, just being a kid during a pumpkin show, you know, you had access to it so you could get in there. And it is a creepy building to be in at night. It's even creepy to just be outside of the building on the porch at night, to be quite honest.
Yeah, when we lived in Circleville, I never was in the building, but I've been by the building countless times.
There's been a lot of paranormal experiences that people have shared there. So, like we said, it's located in downtown Circleville, which is a small town in Ohio. I would say, it's about 30 minutes, 40 minutes away from Columbus.
Oh, I'd say so. And honestly, the only thing Circleville's really known for is its pumpkin show every October.
That's correct, yes.
Because it's always packed. Well, it wasn't this year, but traditionally it's packed. You can barely walk around.
So some of the things that people said they've seen there is, of course, Civil War soldiers, ghosts of Civil War soldiers.
Was it built before or after the Civil War?
It says it was built for as a memoriam, so it would have to be after.
Okay. I didn't know if it was used as like a Civil War hospital, because that would explain why. But I guess if they use it as a memorial and maybe had artifacts in there.
Yeah, and, there's always the story of the Lady in White. And
every theater has a Lady in White.
Of course, with the whole acting thing, that can conjure up residual energy for people back in that time period.
Yeah.
That may not necessarily have died in the building, but were connected to the building in some way, or maybe it was their favorite place. There was, I don't know if it still is, but there was what they called a boiler room. So, of course, there's always the stories of, someone who mans the boiler room, like an old maintenance person.
Gets burnt to death.
Right. Personally, what I've seen there, I mean, to go watch a play there, it was an awesome environment. But, I mean, with the lighting coming onto the stage and the lighting from behind the stage, it's real easy to mistake something that's probably normal for something paranormal. But it's been reported when a lot of the people were doing plays that there were extra cast members, if you know what I mean, people in that period dressed that was on the stage with them that were not part of the cast.
Well, didn't that happen to you when you did the Tecumseh play?
Yeah, but I don't want to confuse the thing here, but yeah, I mean, that's when I did theater, that was something that was very common. And you always thought, I've not seen that person before.
That's because they're not really there.
but then you've also got the whole thing of understudies, if someone's sick and can't do the role and somebody else steps in. But normally you would be alerted to that as a cast member.
Well, yeah, and you would know the understudies too, because don't the understudies have to practice just as much as the
They should.
The main group?
They should, but this is a community theater, so...
Well, it doesn't matter. I would think that at any time, the understudy has to be ready to go on.
Yeah. There's also, you know, reports of sounds throughout the library, when it was a library. You know, especially when it was closed, or there was only one or two people in there. Now, that could just be an old brick building settling, because it is very old. It's a very old building.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, it looks like brick from, like, Civil War era.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very...
Gothic
building, yeah.
Yeah, it's beautiful, but it's very Gothic building. It's very scary and foreboding when you actually go up to...
Mm-hmm. It's, what, 3 or 4 stories, isn't it?
Yes.
And it's got the round turret, is that what it's called?
Yeah, there's actually a YouTube about it, as far as exploring that theater, because I know it's been explored a couple times. They've actually had ghost hunters in there who've caught EVPs, who have caught photographs, video evidence, and these are, of course, just amateur ghost hunters, but still, it's evidence, nevertheless.
I would be more inclined to believe amateur ghost hunters than ghost hunters that are being paid by cable network.
Yeah, I would too. People who just do it for the hobby of it, not to get some kind of monetary...
Right. Something and who's to, you know, you don't know for sure that they're not doing these videos to turn into like a Ghost Hunters or a Ghost Adventures.
I think that's jumped the shark. That whole idea has jumped the shark.
But, I mean...
Just those... because, I mean, after they found out everything they put on there is pretty much fake. But, I believe that it is haunted. I don't think there's any way it couldn't be. And Circleville is a very small town. I'm sure that this was a place where a lot of people associated with that lived in Circleville. You know, I mean, it's almost like a staple building. You know, you're in Circleville, you see the Round Town Players, and they even called it that.
Because it's a round town.
Yeah, they even called it that though, even when it was the library. It was still the Round Town Players. That's how you knew it.
Right.
And it definitely has a lot of people trying to sneak into the building. There's been reports of people being killed trying to sneak into the building, and once they're in the building, then of course there goes haunts the building now. I think if there's anything, it's residual. I personally haven't seen anything there, but like I said, it is a weird...
Right, and I haven't been in there, so I can't tell you what
it is. It is a weird, weird building, especially the basement. And what basement of an old creepy building isn't weird?
It's just weird that they would put the theatrical troupe in the basement when there's multiple floors that they could have used. Like, they could have used the second floor of the building.
I don't think at that point it was... I mean, I don't think at that point it was, like, as popular as... And then they got popular.
So it might not be in the basement now.
And I think they acquired... No, I think the whole building is theirs now. Around Town Players.
It might very well be, because...
Because that's what it's called. When you look it up, that's what it's called. It's no longer the library. That's what it...
Oh, so when you look that up, it's called... Well, then they probably do have the entirety of the building.
Yeah. And probably not now because we're in a, you know, pandemic, but...
Yeah, I haven't... The couple of times that we've been in Circleville, I haven't seen the little plywood thing that they have sitting outside to tell you what production they're getting ready to do.
And I assume it's probably part of the whole, you know, Circleville society. You know, every town has a society that preserves historical sites and stuff, so...
Yeah, I thought the society was in that building, too.
Yeah, they could be. That's what I was getting ready to say. Yeah. I know that in Chillicothe, you know, with Tecumseh, you know, there was a society that preserved Sugarloaf Mountain for the actors and for the story that they were telling, the historical stuff, so...
And we can do that mountain on another one.
Yeah, we'll do... If this one's good, we'll do another...
Yeah, that's... For some reason, we didn't find that when we looked at haunted stuff.
There really wasn't a whole lot of Round Town Players except for that. I think the next one, though, is going to be the Moonville Tunnel.
Yeah, we can do Moonville, I thought. Yeah, give me just a second here.
So, we've been to Moonville several times. And love it. I want to, if it wasn't so damn cold, I'd go back.
Every time we go, something happens, though.
It's a very spooky place.
Well, we'll just give a little bit of history on Moonville. Moonville was once scarcely known as little more than just one tiny coal mining town among hundreds, just like in southeastern Ohio. During its prime in the mid-1800s, there were never more than 100 people living in the tiny community and within a mile radius of its limits. The road leading to it, even then, was a rugged, twisting, and turning path just large enough for outlying farm wagons to make it to Samuel Coe's mill on the east side of Raccoon Creek, or the Ferguson's farm on the west side, where a tunnel would be built through a long section of Appalachian hillside. It said, in fact, by the early 1950s, the only things remaining were a few abandoned houses and a lonely stretch of railway between Marietta and Cincinnati. But now it's a pretty big hub for paranormal activity. Now all the old roads are overgrown with poison ivy, wild rose, and greenbrier. A path with grand bridges along a section connecting Athens, Ohio rails to trails to Vinton County's rails to trails never occurred. They were supposed to, you know, how we have trails all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
They were supposed to connect those and never did. The only way into the belly of the old ghost town and the tunnel is across a treacherous section of Raccoon Creek or along a crumbling and collapsing trails on Ohio Division of Forestry property, which that's not really true. They actually have it pretty, I mean, you could cross a creek to get to it.
Yeah.
But now they actually have, like, it's like a destination spot now. They have, like, railway things leading up, like, signs leading up to it. They got a parking area.
I think they're trying to make it safer for people because I think they realize that people are just going to continue to go.
Oh, yeah.
I
mean, yeah.
It's actually got a cool feature. It's something that we're supposed to do, but you go back and you take a lock with you and you put it on they have a chain link fence.
It's like a lover's lock fence.
Right. So they've done that because they noticed that, you know, their efforts to stop people from doing stuff like that just wasn't going to work. I think the locals there aren't very happy because you have to remember that even though you have to call it what it is. It is a ghost town almost. Once you pass through the tunnel, you're actually in a town that used to be a town, a village.
Yeah.
You can still see the foundations of houses. You can see the old telephone.
Yeah, you can still see, like, the power poles from where... at that time, it probably would have been for, like, telegrams.
Yeah, I mean, that's something we noticed when we were there. It was pretty creepy. And we just happened to look over and notice that there wasn't anybody that told us that those were there. We just looked over and seen.
Yeah, we just saw them.
And then you got the sense that, oh, okay, shit, we're walking through what used to be the town. And then you eventually had come to a creek, and you could cross the creek. And once you did, then there was a whole other area you could go into. There's even a cemetery.
We haven't found the cemetery
yet. We have not found the cemetery yet. But some of the stuff that, you know, of course, well, first-hand experience, I'll just tell you, the locals aren't very happy that...
Oh, no. The first time we were out there, when we got back in our car, we literally got chased out of there. It's like a gravel road. If you're not familiar with old country roads, like, I grew up driving on those type of roads because that's how I learned how to drive. But if you're not, you could have easily wrecked.
Oh, you're fucked. I mean... Because it wasn't like they were... I mean, no, I'm serious. Coming up on your bumper.
Yeah, and we had kids in the car.
I mean, we couldn't even... There wasn't even a place where we could pull over and let them go around us.
Right.
Because we weren't sure if we were getting chased out or if it was just someone who was...
In a very big hurry to get somewhere.
Right. We weren't sure, so... But there was just no place for us.
Right.
These roads only will allow one car passage at a time.
Right.
So if you got someone coming on the opposite side, it's nothing but ditch on one side and nothing but a straight drop on the other. So,
right.
You got to do some real fancy driving for both cars to pass each other.
Yeah, to fit.
Yeah, and it definitely a winding all the way up to the top of this place.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you get there and you park, you better park to where you better turn around and park so you're facing out. If you're not able to park in the parking lots, it's not really a parking lot; it's just a parking area. And then once you park, you walk probably.
Well, you walk over that concrete bridge that they've built for the locks over the creek, and then you go to the tunnel. I mean, you eventually get to the town. Now, I can't remember, are the power line things, because it's not even lines, it's just the wooden things that they would have been on, is that before or after the tunnel?
After.
You go through the tunnel.
So, like you were saying, it was more of a coal mining boom town than anything else. It had its prime in the mid-1800s. And it says here that there was never more than maybe 100 people there. Very tiny community. The road leading at that time, even then, was very rugged, twisting, turning, large enough for an outlying farm wagon. Like I said, about one car. There are a lot of images online if you look. And the tunnel itself is very pretty. There's been a lot of graffiti.
Oh, there's lots of graffiti. Now, my question is, because they're saying there's a bridge out there, was there something going over top of the tunnel? Because I'm assuming the tunnel was for railroad tracks to go through. But it also looks like there could have been something on the top of it, like a roadway or something. I mean, we haven't tried to climb up there and check it out.
Well, it's very steep. And plus, we've had kids with us a lot. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. It looks like there could have been. It looks like this town was a town that, I guess, you know, received stuff from Cincinnati to West Virginia.
Yeah, because they connected. Yeah.
A lot of stuff went through this little mining town. One of the legends was the brakeman. It was an engineer. A woman crossing the tracks and a murdered man have all contributed to keeping Moonville from fading into oblivion. People have found themselves walking on the same dirt paths these those living in the sleepy town of Moonville once rode or once walked. That's where a lot of the legends come from. So there is the legend of the brakeman.
There's a guy with the torch too.
Mm-hmm. The legend of the brakeman is this was a guy who was, I guess, trying to stop
the train
from coming into the town. And actually got murdered. Not murdered, but he got killed by the train. So, of course, you could see his lantern in the tunnel. And there is...
Well, there's a story behind that. The thing is that the town got sick. It was like a flu. So it was a really bad sickness. They were trying to contain it. So they stopped... Or at least the story goes, they were trying to contain it. And they stopped all... supplies into there because they didn't want anybody to get infected. So it was his job to take his lantern to try to stop the train so that they could get supplies. And he got drunk the night before he was supposed to do this and woke up late and went running through the tunnel to try to flag it, because the idea was to flag the train in enough time for the train to stop, so that he could either go get help, ask for help, or they could raid the train. I can't remember what it was. And the train ran him over. So you still see the lantern light in the tunnel.
And there is videos that show this and pictures that show this. Even a shadowy figure in the tunnel.
In the tunnel.
As people are leaving and they're doing like the whole, you know, FaceTime or whatever.
Yeah.
You can see the shadow in the back. Of course, it could all be a hoax. There's also the legend of a woman who was murdered in the tunnel.
I'd believe it.
So this town also, though, we forgot to mention the furnace. So the town was actually built and constructed for coal miners who worked at the Hope Furnace, which is pretty nearby.
You're supposed to be able to walk from the furnace to Moonville. We haven't done that yet because we haven't figured out how to do it, but there is supposed to be a connecting tunnel.
It's a 3-mile hike. The problem was, is that day it was very
muddy,
muddy. I mean, you just couldn't, and it was about fucking 98 degrees out.
Oh, because that would potentially be a 6-mile hike.
You
got to hike there and then you got to turn around and come back.
The iron furnace was rumored to be haunted as well. It was used to make weapons for the Civil War. Sadly, by the early 1900s, advances in coal mining had made the town all but obsolete. So, one of the legends, too, about the Hope Furnace, and this particular spirit has also been seen in Moonville, was there was a guy who was kind of like the town bully or whatever.
Yeah.
And, like, always picking fights, beating the shit out of people. And I think he actually got thrown into the furnace.
I think it was thrown into the furnace.
Yeah. And so you're actually, you can actually be able to see this outline of a large man who was supposed to be the bully or whatever.
And there's still a part of the furnace that you can go up and look at and take pictures and stuff of. And I think when you take the hike, there's actually a couple of buildings or frames of buildings that were part of it. And I think that's the only time you're supposed to be able to see, like, remnants of houses from Moonville, too.
And it says at least four other people were reported to have been killed at the Moonville Tunnel. Although the details vary, some legends claim that the Moonville was struck by plague and quarantined.
That's what I was talking about.
And that the ghosts are of those killed by the epidemic.
Because they couldn't get the supplies and everything.
There's another account of there's a ghost of a pregnant woman that was struck by the train. Others claim that an 8-foot tall man who was struck also haunts the place.
8 foot tall, huh?
8 foot tall. Now, as far as personal accounts, we've been there. So, I mean, I think on our first encounter, that was the encounter where we got chased off. I think on our first encounter, it was, you could hear knocking on trees, or almost, maybe it could have just been on it sounded like a door, is what it sounded like. And this is in the middle of nowhere where there's no door.
There shouldn't have been any, because where we were at, you can't see, like you can see, when you're on the trail, you can see where it goes down and then it flattens out.
You can see where the town was.
Of course, the forest has taken the land back.
I think the trail we were walking on was the actual, where the
rail, the tracks were right at. And it did sound like knocking. It was clear as day.
I mean, we had our oldest child with us, and of course she was freaking out. And that at that point,
oh yeah, that was yeah. We didn't have the younger two with us.
And at that point, you do begin. You feel eerie once you get across the tunnel. Like I don't really feel weird in the tunnel at all.
I do as soon as I come off of the concrete bridge. That's why if you notice, I'm always looking around because I'm always feeling something, like looking at us and watching us.
Now I'm ever the skeptic, so. Yeah. Going through the tunnel, I mean, taking pictures, trying to get something to show up, you know, and there's just nothing. And we haven't caught anything there. It's just the feeling of it. Like, when you... I didn't feel it until we actually got across the creek.
You sometimes hear stuff in the tunnel, too, but you got to attribute that to, like, pieces of the tunnel falling off.
It is, and it is. There's places where it drips in there. It's very cold in the tunnel.
It was very cold.
I'll say that. It is a lot different, but it is dark. There's no sunlight coming in.
But
so,
every train tunnel is probably like that.
That's what I'm thinking. And that's kind of what you tell yourself. But the knocking was definitely weird. Now, a couple things that I threw up. Another paranormal thing. I mean, you're in a place where there could be big feet, and that's how they communicate. They knock on trees.
That's one of the reported things, is that they knock trees together, tree limbs together.
Like when you get too close to where they're at as a way to ward you off.
Yeah, or they take a tree limb and beat a tree with it, which is what I said it sounded like the very first time it happened. Yeah. I said that.
To me, it sounded like a door, like someone knocking on doors. You could also hear people walking in the shrubbery, but at that... Too, it could be a wild animal. There's deer out there.
Oh, yeah, there's horses, because you see horse prints and poop all the time when you're out there.
Then, once you get to where you can cross, there's another creek that goes into another area. That feels really weird.
Oh, yeah, that's real bad, because that also, you could see where it was, like another, like little railway bridge, because you can see...
But it's caved in, and...
Well, no, the track isn't even there anymore. Right. It's just the bricks that would have held it up on each side is still there. But when we went over there, that was the last time we were there. We went over that creek.
And actually hiked up a bit. But what was strange was, and it could have just been done by kids, but it was there was a stick, almost like a...
It was a random-ass stick stuck in the mud.
Yeah, and we went through that area.
And it wasn't there.
No, when we came back, it was gone, right?
No, when we came back, it was there.
Oh, when we went up, it was gone. That's right.
When we went up, there wasn't anything there. And when we came back down, because right after that, we're like, yeah, we're done.
You know, the other possibility, too, even though there is that feeling, and of course you start to make yourself feel that, too, when things are weird, like if you're ever hiking in the woods and it's just two of you or three of you, I mean, you could almost swear that someone was following you anywhere, but especially there, you get that feeling.
Yeah, I'm always looking around because it feels like there's somebody there.
But I think the other possibility is that it's locals trying to scare people off.
Well, they could have, like, pot out there growing it. Mm-hmm. Because it's a perfect place to do it because there's a lot of flat areas out there that you can't really get to.
I would love to go out there at night just to see if if some of the rumors are true. I'd love to just go out there. I know people do.
Isn't this also where you kept getting stuff thrown at you, or was that Old Man's Cave?
That was Old Man's Cave, yeah. But that's something that's on my list I want to do at least once. I want to go out there at night.
The locals. I'd be too afraid to go out there at night because of the locals. I really would.
I think it'd be okay. But that's the Moonville Tunnel.
Because, I mean, think about driving into, like, getting to where Moon Tunnel's at. You go through some really sketchy-looking town.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I wouldn't even call it a town.
So something that's not too far away from the Moonville Tunnel, but kind of, I guess, in Athens, is something that's called the Ridges.
That's not even... Is Vinton County anywhere...
It's about an hour away. I mean, everybody kind of lumps it all in together. So we had heard about the Ridges and wanted to check it out. You can't go in the building. That's sad. I'd love to be able to go into one of these old psychiatric hospitals and walk through it myself.
Yeah, they just do, like, outside tours.
Yeah, which to me, not really that big a deal. But, why don't you give us a little bit of history?
Is the Ridges is still open, just not at the original building, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. This is the original building.
Okay, well, it's the Athens Lunatic Asylum, now a mixed-use development known as the Ridges.
And it's part of OU, Ohio University.
It was a Kirk Pride Planned Mental Hospital. It was operated in Athens, Ohio from 1874 until 1993. During its operation, the hospital provided services to a variety of patients, including Civil War veterans, children, and those declared mentally unwell. It says after a period of disuse, the property was redeveloped by the state of Ohio. And then, like you said today, it's part of Ohio University in-house, the Kennedy Museum of Art, as well as an auditorium and many offices, classrooms, and storage facilities.
Well, and it said, too, that the design of the building was, or buildings on the grounds were influenced by Dr. Thomas Story Kirkbride, 19th century physician who authored a book on mental hospital design. His designs were often recognizable for the batwing floor plans and lavish Victorian architecture.
Well, and it also says that the former hospital is perhaps best known as a site of the infamous lobotomy procedure, as well as we'll get into paranormal sightings.
Right.
It says after the hospital's original structure closed, the state of Ohio acquired the property and renamed the complex and its surrounding grounds the Ridges. The Ridges was derived from a naming contest. Where'd it go?
The original design of the building included an administration building with two wings. One that would house the males and the other that would house the females. The building itself was 853 feet long, 60 feet wide, and built with red bricks, which were fired from the clay dug on the site. Built onto the back, of course, you had your laundry room, your boiler house. There was also seven cottages that were constructed to house even more patients. There was room to house at least 572 patients in the main building, almost double what the Kirkbride had recommended, which is important.
Yeah, it's just like with Pennhurst.
Right. The administrative section located between the two resident wings included entrance hall, offices, and reception room on the first floor, the superintendent's residence on the second floor, and the third and quarters for other officers and physicians on the third and fourth floors. There is a large high ceiling, amusement half hall filled with the second and third floors, and then a chapel was included in the fourth floor.
It says during its operating years, the Athens Lunatic Asylum, it began its operation on January 9th, 1874. Within 2 years of its opening, the hospital was renamed the Athens Hospital for the Insane. Later, the hospital would be called the Athens Asylum for the Insane, the Athens State Hospital, the Southeastern Ohio Mental Health Center, the Athens Mental Health Center, and the Athens Mental Health and Mental Retardation Center, the Athens Mental Health and Development Center, and then the, again, it goes back to the Athens Mental Health Center. It says the original hospital was in operation from 1874 to 1993. Although it was not a self-sustaining facility, because many of the Kirkbride Plan asylums were cloistered communities. It said for decades the hospital had livestock, farm fields and gardens, an orchard, greenhouse, and dairy, a physical plant to generate steam heat, and even a carriage shop. It said a large percentage of the work it took to maintain the facility was originally carried out by the patients. Labor, especially skilled labor, was seen by the Kirkbride Plan as a form of therapy and was an advantage to the state because the state didn't have to pay for people to come in there to work.
Well, during its operation, the hospital provided services to a variety of patients, including Civil War veterans, children, the elderly, the homeless, rebellious teenagers being taught a lesson by their parents, violent criminals suffering from various mental and physical disabilities. These patients with diagnoses ranging from the slightest distress to severely mentally ill were provided various forms of care, many of which have been discredited today.
Of course.
The asylum was best known for its practices of lobotomy, hydrotherapy, electroshock, restraint, psychotropic medications, and most of which of those medications are not used today because of how harmful they are.
So, what is hydrotherapy?
Okay, so do you remember when we watched Nurse Ratched? That it was that
where they put him in the bath, the metal bathtub?
And it's hot and it's cold and it's hot.
Okay, so that's hydrotherapy. That right. would drive anybody crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the lobotomies, I know, because that also was in Nurse Ratched. And the electroshock, I know they took the paddles to each side of your head.
Yep.
Because that doesn't, how does that not scream? Let's do it.
Right. So I think some of these people were sadists. Fucking serial killers in white jackets. More interesting, though, are the causes listed for admission, which included, but not limited to.
Oh, here we go.
Epilepsy.
Seizures.
which is treated by medicine. I mean, that's not a mental illness.
That's just spontaneously breaking out in seizures, right?
Menopause. Alcohol addiction and tuberculosis. General ill health also accounted for many admissions. Just generally ill, which means I'm fucking tired of you. You're going to the fucking mental asylum.
So that would be like what we would do to a certain family member that always says they're not feeling good.
Right.
All the time trying to suck the pity wiener.
Yes. Yes, yeah. the pity dick.
Yeah.
So, for the female patients hospitalized during the first 3 years, the three leading causes of insanity are recorded as puerperal condition, relating to childbirth, changing of life, and menstrual derangements.
Which means that when you're on
fucking mind when you're on your period. That's what that means. You're on my nerves.
Not everybody loses their mind. But, I mean, just think about it. Women, a lot of times, were put into mental hospitals with female ailments. Hysteria.
According to 1876 report, the leading cause of insanity among male patients was masturbation.
That is the dumbest damn thing I've ever heard, because there was another...
Masturbation makes me feel great.
the prison that we're getting ready to cover here soon had a lot of people listed as dying in masturbation.
That's a lot of beating off. I mean, that is a lot if you die from it.
You can't even die from it. What, I mean, how could you die from it?
Well, the second most common cause of insanity was listed as intemperance, which is alcohol. Depending on the condition, the patient's treatment could range from full care to amazing freedom. Nothing about this sounds amazing. Over the years, numerous buildings were added, including a farm office, a new amusement hall, additional wards and residences, laundry building, power plants, garages, stables,
dairy barn,
a firehouse, and a dairy barn. By the 1950s, the hospital was using 78 buildings, treating 1,800 patients, and it even has its own fucking graveyard because they killed so many people.
It was actually at one point the most employed building at the time. It was like the best place to get a job, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then so the graveyards were used for patients who died who didn't have families to come and claim them.
Well, they got to put them somewhere.
So a lot of them are unmarked.
That's messed up. You can't mark them, at least with something.
It's in a registry. And
so basically, they got a stone with a number on it.
Well, you'll recognize this name. In 1977, Athens Asylum made news when it housed rapist Billy Milligan.
Yep.
We did a podcast on Billy. Let's see. The hospital also made news when it took a patient named Margaret Schilling. Made news again when a patient named Margaret Schilling disappeared on December 1st, 1978. It wasn't until January 12th, 79, 42 days later, that her body was discovered by a maintenance worker in a locked, abandoned ward once used for patients with infectious illnesses.
And that spot is still there where her body was found.
Where her body was found, the spot, they say, is still there. Like, they can't scrub it. They can't clean it. Even if they paint it, whatever.
It still comes through.
Though tests show that she died of heart failure, she was found completely naked with her clothing neatly folded next to her body. More interesting is the permanent stain that her body left behind. Clearly an imprint of her hair body can still be seen on the floor, even though numerous attempts have been made to remove it.
Also, there's records from the asylum that document some of the now discredited theories of causes of mental illness, such as the practice of harmful treatments, such as lobotomy, because lobotomy didn't do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
The Ohio University Archives collection information regarding employees' background training, which ranged from full training and qualification to a complete lack thereof. Most disturbing is the documentation of the hydrotherapy, electroshock, lobotomy, and the drugs that you were talking about. It's just, they just show, they have it documented and it's out there, all the inhumane ways that they treated that. And I think that's why I like that one a little bit more than Pennhurst, because they're not hiding what they did wrong.
Well, they officially closed in 1993. The remaining patients were transferred to another facility, and the property stood vacant for several years before restoration began. The name was changed to The Ridges in 2001, and the renovation work was complete. Today, it houses music, geology, biotechnology offices, storage facilities, as well as the Kennedy Museum of Art. Let's see. It comes as no surprise, though, that there's alleged hauntings. One of them that's the most famous is Margaret Schilling. her spirit is said to have appeared, staring down from the window of the room where her body was found, and has been attempting to escape. It has been known to wander various parts of the building at night. According to some, she's not alone. There's a former patient. Other former patients are also said to remain in residence, with reports of visitors seeing strange figures standing in the empty wings of the former hospital, hearing disembodied voices, squeaking gurneys, seeing strange lights, hearing screams echoing through the walls. More frightening, there are rumors of spirits of patients who remain shackled in the basement. as many spirits are thought to be people who had died or suffered at the hands of the staff in the asylum. It sounds like they were torturing bitches, so yeah. The cemetery is also said to be haunted. Shadows, strange lights. There is a linear shape of grave forming a circle, which is said to be where the witches meet. That's what I found on the hauntings of it. I know just from talking to people who've been there, they say that this is one of the most haunted places they've ever been. For people who have broke in. And the Margaret Schilling thing, that was actually on a couple of shows.
Yeah, that we've seen.
At Paranormal State actually covered.
Yeah.
Because there was a chick who was living in a building that was close to it or something.
Yeah.
And they found some stuff too. I believe Paranormal State. But they found some stuff too. But how could it not be haunted? I mean, Jesus Christ.
Well, yeah, because the treatments and stuff.
Horrible. I don't know. What do you think?
Oh, is it haunted?
I mean, what asylum wouldn't be haunted?
Exactly.
I mean, and it sounds like they did some terrible things. I mean, lobotomies. All of that stuff creates negative energy, which is just going to stay. It's not going to go anywhere. And it's probably residual with some intelligent type hauntings, I would assume. So, yeah, it's said to be one of the most haunted places in Ohio.
And it says that the hauntings actually started coming out when the university took over the property.
Yeah, because you got more people there.
Well, it's the students began spending time at the property. Did you do the disembodied screams in the middle of the night, electronic anomalies, rattling door handles, vanishing spectral images? A lot of those occurred where her body was found. So that was, of course, attributed to her. I think she is actually the most...
She's the most famous ghost.
Yeah. And this said she was murdered, that it wasn't heart failure. She was murdered. So what's the next one you want to do?
Well, I'm kind of excited about this one because I actually went to school in this building. So we're going to talk about the Majestic Theater in Chillicothe, Ohio.
It wasn't the theater part you went. I thought it was the hotel part that's no longer there.
It was both. We were part of a joint vocational school that had a performing arts program. The performing arts program was housed at the Majestic Theater. There was, at that time, two parts to it. There was the hotel portion,
mm-hmm.
and then the Majestic itself. Before I go into my personal accounts, though, why don't you go ahead and give a little history on it? When it was built, what it was used for.
Okay. Originally, the building of the Masonic Hall on the present site of the Majestic Theater was built in 1853. It marked the beginning of better entertainment in the city. The two-story brick building with a combination lodge room, dance hall, and theater. Stock companies would come and stay as long as a month and put on plays. In 1876, the Masons appointed a building committee to enlarge their building. So, it was a Mason Lodge.
It was a Masonic temple.
Right. And then it had the theater, and it just was multiple layers.
Right. And then on the other side was the hotel.
Well, yeah, that's why the original building was 40 feet by 100 feet and was extended to 50 feet by 120 feet. The architect was John W. Cook and Israel Bidgman, the local contractor. The stage was under the supervision of Warren H. Gribben of Syracuse, New York. The new stage was 46.5 feet wide with a depth of 28 feet.
And it was said that actually John Wayne actually acted on that stage. There was actually a couple other famous people, presidents included, that were rumored to have been at the Majestic at various times, but it was rumored that John Wayne actually acted there and stayed in the hotel.
It said below the stage were all the mechanics necessary to operate the several trap doors in the stage floor. It says you entered the theater through 8-foot high double doors. It had a ticket booth on one side, and the other side was a stairway up to the balcony. And the stairs continued up to the top floor, which was the Mason Temple. Upon entering the auditorium from the vestibule, you were in a horizontal aisle across the back, blocked off by a screen from seating. In front of the screen was the dress circle in a horseshoe shape. The seats were on platforms, giving each adequate view of the stage. In front of the dress circle, the floor had an incline of 1 inch to 1 foot. At the foot of this was the orchestra pit. The balcony above was also a horseshoe shaped, and again, the seats were on platforms, each about 12 inches above the one in front. The Masonic Opera House could sit 400 to 500 people by removing the seats on the first floor and placing a movable sections with braces. They could provide a flat floor for dancing and roller skating. The main ceiling was handsomely frescoed, and above the stage in the center was a representation of music. In each corner were representations of each of the seasons. The wall was painted gray. On the bottom level of the addition was six dressing rooms, complete with mirrors and makeup lamps. A hall also provides a convenient entrance to and from the hotel next door and backstage. Upon completion in December of 1876, it was announced that the Masonic Opera House was one of the finest theaters in the state. After the remodeling and with the completion of the Claw Opera House across town, theater offerings were tremendous and varied. Drama, comedy, farce, minstrel shows, and operas were presented. In 1904, A.R. Wolfe bought the Masonic Opera House from the Masons as they were building a new temple on Main Street. Mr. Wolfe remodeled the theater and enlarged the stage. He replaced all the windows in the front of the building with beautiful stained glass windows. The Opera House continued under Wolfe's excellent managerial abilities until he sold it to the Myers brothers in 1915. They again made some improvements and repairs and installed a movie screen and equipment. The Myers brothers are the ones that changed it to the Majestic Theater. They occasionally had live theater productions on the stage, but finally went to motion pictures exclusively. In July 71, Harley and Evelyn Bennett became the new owners of the Majestic Theater. They did careful restoration with reference to original wall paintings. New seating was installed, as was new front doors. The restrooms were remodeled and the lobby redone. The brick wall on the alley side was sandblasted, and the old broken plastic squares on the front of the building were removed and brick facing was installed. A new coat of paint and the refurbishing of the marquee, new roof, and sprouting all helped to preserve the old Masonic Opera House. And then three businessmen bought the theater as a nonprofit organization in 1990 and put all new wiring, safety, and security systems.
When I went to school there, definitely an aged building on the inside. I mean, we mostly did all of our schooling on the hotel side, and the hotel side had three floors. The first floors were the classrooms were, second floor was storage, third floor was storage. But these were all floors where there were rooms where people stayed, so it was set up like a hotel. So it was several rooms.
Right.
On the theater side, which all you had to do was walk around, it was connected, because that's how the actors would go in. If you went downstairs, of course, were the dressing rooms for the actors, the boiler room, storage. And then, of course, you had the stage. Above the stage, you had the catwalk, which was an old catwalk. It wasn't like digital and electronic. This was old ropes and pulleys that you tied off on the banisters. So there was a lot of creaking and not a whole... I mean, and the ladders were wooden. They weren't even metal ladders. They were old wooden ladders, like the original catwalk.
Right.
Had not been changed the whole time. Which was kind of nerve-wracking when you're up there with, you know, and trying to hoist flats and stuff up. I mean, you're talking about 200 pound flats you're trying to hoist from a catwalk, you know, and you weigh like a buck 30, you know. I mean, you never really get pulled over the fucking banister, so it took two, three people. I know with a particular group I was with, on the hotel side, doors would slam. The alarms would go off all the time. If you went to the second floor or the third floor and it was summertime, it felt like it was fucking winter. You had to have a jacket. Like, if you were part of the unfortunate group that had to go up and get flats or go get, you know, whatever, you wore a jacket. In the dead of summer, you wore a jacket because you could see your breath.
That's crazy.
The second floor and the third floor. Also, as you were up there, it was, we used it for also like building stuff, like, mm-hmm. you know, and
your sets.
Right. You build it and you store it and then you bring it out when you need it. You would see heads poking out. You would see heads poking out of the room. You would just feel like someone's, watching you or whatever. You would hear things like in your ear, like people whispering or talking.
Mm-hmm.
There were no doors on the rooms. All the doors had been removed. I don't know why, but I figure it's because you could still hear doors slamming upstairs.
That's why they took the doors out.
No doors, yeah. You could tell where people had broke in and vandalized and maybe had used it for other things. And I think that's originally why they tore that part down.
It's weird that they restored the theater, but they just tore the hotel down instead of restoring it and using it as a hotel.
And then as far as the... And then as far as the theater side on stage, so these... were plays that we were putting on, obviously. So there was a sound room that was in the back of where people sat. It was all the way at the top. It's also where the projector was too. God forbid if you were up there by yourself, because it was fucking
freaky. Projector rooms are creepy on their own.
It was fucking freaky, and there was seats in the balconies too, and you would always see people sitting in the fucking balconies, or the seats would be down like somebody's sitting in them. When they were supposed to flip up, the seats would be down.
Right.
Even so far as to go and test those seats, you know, you would go and make sure there's anything wrong with the spring. There's not, but it would always happen. Some of the seats would be down, like someone was sitting there. Always cold up there, and as we all know, in the dead of summer, heat rises. It shouldn't be cold.
Right.
Even with heat built in, it was still fucking cold. On the stage itself, I mean, you heard people walking on that stage. You could hear it. Like, if you were in the audience and you're just having, like, a production meeting, you're like, this is what we're going to do next. Nobody's on the stage. You're kind of discussing the scene. You would hear people walking on the fucking stage, like, footsteps. The dressing rooms, there was entrances from the dressing room to where the audience sat, but also to the stage. You could go either way from the dressing rooms. It was like an orchestra pit.
Right.
You could see people running back and forth, like... Because this isn't just daytime. This is nighttime. You're there sometimes till 10 o'clock at night working on plays and shit. Like, for a high school kid, you know, you get to school at 7 o'clock in the morning, and you're there till 10 at night because you're working on plays and stuff. But you would see people running.
Trying to get back and forth where they need to be.
I don't know what it was, but it was awful fucking fast. So much so and so concerning that we actually put in a door that we locked from the outside. But there was still, and we're all accounted for, but there's still people you can see moving down there. You're talking about cold, so cold and so dark. I mean, it was so cold and dark in that basement where the dressing rooms were. There was one time that we were down there. It was me and a couple other friends of mine. I won't put their names out there. But we were in a dressing room, and the door had been open, and we were just talking. I think we were going to go outside and smoke a cigarette or something. And we turned around, and the door was closed, and there was a chair that was pushed in front of the door. We didn't hear a shit.
But there was a chair in front of the door.
And the door was closed. We were obviously freaked out about that. We were doing a show that was a period show for the 1800s. And one of the actresses that... She was all business. This bitch did not play. So much so that most of us didn't like her because she was kind of a...
Uppity.
Yeah. And she was really good, though. She was really, really good. She screamed and said, "Who's that little girl?" And there was a little girl. She said there was a little girl in a blue dress that was on the stage in the same period clothes that we were in.
Right.
It freaked us all out so much that we actually called the police, and the police came and searched. But, interesting enough, what we found out was there was a little girl that was killed in the boiler room.
Yeah, I see that right here. It says, there have been reports of a ghostly girl in the dressing rooms, particularly in the Stars dressing room across from the backstage stairway.
Yep, backstage stairways where she's seen her.
Yeah. But it doesn't say, it doesn't like go into...
No, but that what we found out, and it was from talking to the police too, that there was a report of a little girl that was killed in the boiler room.
Probably in that period.
That's where she was buried, because when they did some renovation, they found, like when they renovated, they found bones. And it had to be from a little girl.
Right.
They have to treat it like an open homicide.
Well, yeah, because it's not going to get solved, but that's how you have to treat it.
And then downstairs, and that was that place felt the heaviest.
The boiler room?
Just downstairs in general. It was so heavy. The alley outside of the Majestic on the left is called Blood Alley, and it's where it was used to drain blood and bodily fluids from.
Yeah, it says that the Majestic Theater, like a large part of the haunting, is due to its temporary use as a morgue during the Spanish flu epidemic that swept through nearby Camp Sherman in 1918. Bodies were stacked in the dressing rooms beneath the stage as a holding place until they could be embalmed on the stage. Some of the bodies placed there were later found to be alive and had to be taken to a nearby hospital. Once on the stage, the body fluids were drained into Masonic Alley that runs parallel to the theater, and then it got nicknamed.
And you've been in Blood Alley. You've walked down.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I haven't personally been inside the theater, but I've been around the theater.
And there is an energy to it.
There is.
There really is.
And it's still the old bricks.
It's the old Civil War bricks.
Yeah, it's the old cobblestone.
I will tell you that the theater part is three levels as well. The second level is where you would have like the seats and the sound room or projector room.
Sorry.
It's okay. But also, if you go up another level, it was, when I was going to school there, it was kind of half renovated. They had just started.
In the temple on the very top floor?
And what they discovered underneath of a lot of the wallpaper was Masonic drawings.
Mm-hmm.
On the wall, paintings on the wall. That place was a whole different level.
Of creepy.
Yeah.
Shouldn't have been any windows up there.
There were no windows in that room. There were windows in rooms that adjoined. But in that room itself, there was none.
Yeah, in the temples, there wouldn't be windows.
But there was everything from hearing doors slam, hearing people walking. Just, you could walk in a good mood, and as soon as you hit it, you were...
Pissed off.
And just the arguing that would take place. I mean, it just had a bad feeling to it. Definitely haunted, though, I think.
Well, here's one. It says, there's a ghost of a man that has been seen walking a few feet above ground at stage level where the floor used to be. It says, mysterious fogs drift around the building. An occasional scream or disembodied voice can be heard. There have even been reports of seeing dead bodies on the stage during performances.
That's true, yeah.
Actors have reported seeing someone peering down at them through the backstage control booth window when no one's in the booth. You said you saw that.
Mm-hmm. And then you go check it out, of course, and there's nobody up there.
So. Right. And then there's been EVPs. Here's somebody that said they were in the basement doing an investigation, and there was a persistent squeaking noise caused by a boiler belt to stop.
You know, and it's so much so that they actually do fundraisers and let ghost hunters come in. They have to pay to go and investigate, but... You know, they've caught some stuff, too.
It says there's odd sounds heard coming from the old unused boiler room. There's electronic field readings. And temperature is slightly... It varies in the boiler room. There's also distinct sounds in there, like people communicating. There was, like I said, the temperature cools. There's distinctive sounds that will respond to people in the boiler room. There's sounds of stuff falling from the ceiling, from the ballroom. There was, and nothing fell, but you could hear stuff falling.
It was definitely, I mean, I'd been there, and I wouldn't say this if it weren't true, but I know I'd been there at all times of the day, all times of the night. Sometimes you were there till 2 o'clock in the morning cleaning up. There were people who were professionals who came in just to help with a show or do a show or do some sort of presentation, and they would always say, hey, I think there's somebody down in the boiler room, or I think I see somebody up there. Do you guys have somebody up there?
Yeah, they said that during this here, they said while they were doing their investigation, they were like sitting on the stage taking a break, and they could see somebody setting up in one of the seats. And of course, when you go up there and look, there's nothing there.
Right.
A lot of EVPs that are found are pretty, the same ones pretty much are being repeated.
No, and also know too, Chillicothe was the site of the Shawnee Indians. So that theater could very well also be built on land that was occupied by Native Americans.
Well, I think the town of Chillicothe was built on...
So you've got that energy, too. There's a lot of energy. There's a lot of... and it's... You do have the experiences, and you have the whole gamut of ghosts. But the biggest thing is the feeling.
Mm-hmm.
How you feel. Because you and when you are in it enough, you start to recognize that you're going to feel this way. Maybe you're... I don't know. For someone who's a skeptic, I will tell you that what I experienced there for 2 years was real.
Well, there's some EVPs that have been found when asked if there's anybody in the boiler room. No is done. Like, there's a loud no, and then there's a very whispery no. Get out is always recorded in various areas. This one's very sad. A very faint whisper saying, help me, has been recorded more than once in the Star's dressing room.
So it's a little girl.
So it's a little girl. There was somebody that asked who was there. The response was, Lawrence Baker is who I am. And then the squeaking steps and the squeaky noises all through have been caught, with nobody moving.
And you could also experience things too, like being pinched, pushed, punched, hair pulled, snagging on your pants, you know, like if you're walking through.
That could be the little girl. Yeah. Depending on where the pants are getting pulled at.
I would love to be able to say it was something else, but I really, even after years, and we're talking 20 years of not being there, I still struggle with what the hell could that have been?
Well, I remember we were walking downtown when we lived there. And it was when Harry Potter first came out. They were showing like Sorcerer's Stone and Chamber of Secrets back to back at that theater. And you're like, yeah, I know you would really like to go in there, but I can't do it. You're like, you didn't even want to go in there and watch them.
And maybe now I would, but in some ways I think they probably, if it is haunted, they would recognize your energy and who you were.
They would probably recognize you.
Some people got picked on more than others. Some people never seen anything. Some people never experienced anything. But I will definitely tell you, I was one of the ones who did. And it is, in my opinion, definitely haunted. You want a good haunt? Go stay there for a couple of nights. I think you'd be satisfied.
Right. I don't understand why they tore down the hotel.
I don't know, but even on that site though,
there's still stuff happening. And they tore the hotel down while we were living there,
right.
Didn't they?
Yep. And to me, I thought the hotel was worse than the the theater as far as haunting.
It's just so stupid, because think of the amount of money they could make off of that now, as promoting it as a haunted hotel, because people will go places just for the chance. Like
they said they tore it down because it was so dangerous.
You could have fixed it. You fixed the theater. You could have put the money into fixing
the
hotel.
I think it was because that people, you know, there was a lot of people breaking in, and you know, with the drug epidemic, people were going in and doing drugs and doing bad things. And
wasn't that also
that was connected to the theater? So you got all that expensive.
fear stuff. And wasn't that also around the time that the serial killings were going on, or was that after?
I'm not sure. We need to do a podcast on that.
Yeah, because I can't remember if that was happening while we lived there or after we moved out.
I don't remember. I had to look at the dates, but yeah, definitely haunted though. That's probably the most haunted place I've ever been. If I'm being honest, that I was actually somewhat shook, I guess.
Yeah, mine's the TNTs, and now since you've said all that, you should understand why I have trouble going back to the TNT area.
Yeah, I mean I do. I would go back now, I think, and at least walk through it. I would love to, you know, because they do those charity, like, you know, ghost hunts, which would be kind of cool, but I. Just to say, hey, you know, I used to be a student here. Can I just walk through the theater?
Yeah, now it's open now, but I don't know that it's a movie theater. It's a theater, but I think it's like a live performance type thing for like bands and stuff, or maybe theater plays. But I don't think they do like movies anymore.
I don't know. We need to check into that though. See if they'd let us go in and just walk through it.
I guess we can look.
Yeah. So, we're kind of running a contest.
Yeah, we might extend it to the middle of next month.
Why don't you tell them what it is?
Well, right now it's we're doing the contest to pick somebody with their three favorite podcasts that we do, and then to give us three suggestions. And if they win, they will get a free plushie from our Etsy store called Fairy Tavern. It'll be their choice of a free medium worm, medium Mothman, a nightcrawler, or a Bigfoot. And we will notify them through Twitter, I guess, and tell them to email, you know, give us, I don't know how we'll email back and forth to get like shipping information, but whoever wins will get their choice of that. And then when we will do one or all of their suggestions, they will get the credit for the suggestions.
Correct. So I think that's all for today.
Yeah,
just stay tuned, and we're going to be running more contests. We have more subjects to put out there, more things to talk about. I don't think we're going to get political with everything that's going on. I think you could probably get that from CNN, but we're going to just stick to our normal stuff, and politics not included. So.
Yeah, because then we'll just never shut up.
Right. So, come join us again.
See you next time. Bye.